Delivering sales velocity in today's market, what drove SBI to really conduct this type of research and produce a white paper on this topic?
A vast majority of senior leaders are reporting that deal sizes are flat and down. Deal velocity is flat and slowing. In particular, over the last 2 years, CEOs have sort of switched from a growth at all costs type of focus to...
2023 in particular was very challenging. What do you think it was about 2023 that really drove those trends?
I think there's two broad categories of factors that are at play here. One that I'll talk through is, you know, maybe to oversimplify a little bit, the days of free money is gone, right?
Final question for you, Rick. As a sales leader today, what are the two or three key takeaways, things that my team in 2024 should be doing differently or better, or ways that I should be thinking as we move forward in 2024? Hello, I'm joined today by Rick Carlton, Senior Vice President of Advisory Services at SBI. And Rick, I'm not sure everyone really is that familiar with SBI, so maybe just tell us a little bit about SBI and your role at SBI.
Yeah, happy to. So great to be here, Norman. Thanks for the time. As you think about SBI, we are a go-to-market consultancy, advisory services, and frontline sales training business. And so my role here as Senior Vice President is to lead the advisory services portion of our offering, and that's the ongoing subscription, the services, advisory services that we provide to commercial leaders around the globe. So it's great to join you today, Norman. Appreciate the opportunity.
You know, what really intrigued me, Rick, was a new piece of research that came out called Delivering Sales Velocity in Today's Market. I thought it was really timely, something that sales leaders, sales enablement leaders would really enjoy. And I guess where I would start is, you know, what drove SBI to really conduct this type of research and produce a white paper on this topic?
Yeah, sure. So I think a lot of this stemmed from what we were seeing out in the marketplace and also in conversations that we have with senior organizational leaders as well as senior commercial leaders. And so, you know, Norman, to really bring it into view, we do a CEO survey quarter over quarter. Over the last couple of quarters, probably not a surprise to everybody on the line today, a vast majority of those senior leaders are reporting that deal sizes are flat and down. Deal velocity is flat and slowing. And commercial productivity overall is sort of flat or worse. I mean, in general, you know, in particular, over the last 2 years, CEOs have sort of switched from a growth at all cost type of focus to let's balance cost optimization with commercial productivity. And I think for most of the companies that we work with, they have either executed on or have a plan for cost optimization, but there's still a lot of senior leaders asking where their commercial productivity is. And so as a result of that, we wanted to study the drivers of deal velocity, the drivers of seller productivity, so that we can provide some instruction, some insight, some help, and some guidance to our client base.
You know, Rick, 2023 in particular was very challenging for a number of years. If you had to kind of highlight some of the challenges that companies mentioned, you mentioned, you know, on the sales side, you know, decreased sales velocity, smaller deal sizes. What do you think it was about 2023 that really drove those trends?
Yeah, I don't know that it was just 2023, right? I think that this has been going on for quite some time. And in fact, you know, Norman, as we had some dialogue with not only our clients, but also a lot of customers that are out there going through purchases and the front line, I think there's two broad categories of factors that are at play here. One that I'll talk through is what I'll refer to as external, mm-hmm. right? And so external being the things essentially done to us as sellers and commercial leaders, and then internal, which are the things that we do to ourselves. So I'll start with the external, and I'll focus on two words. When we think about customers, the customer buying groups and buying dynamics, I think it is a theme of more and a theme of diverse. So what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, more. There is just a lot more individuals that are involved in any given conversation. And I think that's a result of the virtual environment that we live in. It allows folks to get involved in a lot more conversations where historically they may not have, right? And I think it's also a result of the economic pressure that we're all feeling and buyers feel it as well. And a result of that pressure means that they're a bit more risk averse. Mm-hmm. So customer stakeholders that may have been willing to stick their neck out for us historically, they just aren't today, right? They need to bring in a group, and they have to have a broad set of stakeholders to say yes to working with or continuing to work with a supplier to feel comfortable. So that's kind of that's the external.
Let me probe a little bit just on the external, and then I want to hear about the internal drivers. But on the external, when you mentioned more decision makers involved in the process, do you think that's driven just by the fact that companies are more risk averse and there are some budget considerations? Or do you think that's also driven by the complexity of solutions that are being brought to market? A lot of companies we know have moved from product to solution sales. I'm just curious what you think the drivers were that are bringing more stakeholders to the table.
It's a great question, and I think the answer there, Norman, is yes, right? I think there is risk aversion at play. I think, as organizations look to differentiate themselves and their offering, they want to grow organically and inorganically. A byproduct of that is going to be a more complex offering that can do more stuff and do things that can solve more challenges or capture more opportunities for the customer base. And as a result of that, I think that that's directly on point. Now, add to that, as complexity goes up, as risk aversion goes up, that gets to the diverse point that I made before. And there I'm talking about diversity and role. Mm-hmm. So where we used to sell to a CTO, now all of a sudden we have procurement and supply chain involved. There's just a lot more individuals that our sellers essentially need to cater their talk track to and cater the messaging to, understand what they care about, the metrics that they care about, and have a different level, different altitude of conversation than they maybe needed to have historically to be successful.
I think that's right. I think that what's happening is, at least, in just my conversation with a lot of sales professionals, they really are focused on one or two key stakeholders within an organization. But I've seen other research where there could be as many as 7 or 8 stakeholders involved, from finance to technical users to procurement. So there's a lot of people at the table. And I think if you really don't meet all their needs, you really haven't really mapped the organization in a way where you can really move that opportunity forward. I want to get to the internal. So you mentioned, some of it's external, but some of it we do to ourselves. What are the things we do to ourselves that really also create this problem with deal velocity?
Well, I'll build on the point you just mentioned, right, around solution complexity. It's a good thing. We want to differentiate our offering out there in the market, and organically, inorganically, we're going to look to grow and evolve. But again, as I just stated, there's an exhaust challenge associated with that, which is the sales organization needs to keep up. And so for many frontline individuals, the solution that they are selling today looks very different than the solution that they were selling even just 2 to 3 short years ago. So that creates a challenge for us. I think the other challenge is, given a lot of the macroeconomic realities, there's a lot of pressure on sales teams, sales leaders, frontline sales managers, as well as the sellers themselves. And as a result of that pressure, sometimes we navigate to the transactional as a result of that, right? And so we get very transactional with our deal coaching, with our conversations with sellers, and we miss the boat a little bit on broader development, skills coaching, right? The things that help individuals truly develop and roll, the way that scales across an organization and creates competency and effectiveness for the future as well.
So I want to get into some of the findings around different sales approaches and what sales leaders can do. But what I want, before we do that, I'm always intrigued by research, and I think our audience would also be intrigued by the research. We talked about this concept of big I research at SBI, and why is SBI making this investment? So I think before we get into some of the findings, just tell us a little bit about the research and how it was conducted.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, Norman, just to back up a little bit, in the environment that we're in as leaders, where we're just inundated with sales productivity points of views, opinions. There's, self-proclaimed LinkedIn gurus. Mm-hmm. We believe at SBI that quality research driven by proven methodologies is going to help our clients make the right decisions when it comes to driving commercial excellence, full stop. Now, over the last 5 years, SBI has disproportionately invested in progressive analytical minds to bolster the insights that drive our recommendations that our team of consultants, advisors, trainers, subject matter experts all recommend to our clients. And In fact, many of these individuals have been part of some groundbreaking work historically in the arena of commercial productivity overall, including, you know, folks that helped author the Challenger sale, the Challenger customers. So this is a big investment and has been for quite some time for SBI. And we believe it's a big differentiator for us and a huge benefit for our clients.
When I looked at the research and just, you know, there's a white paper on this that goes along with this podcast that we're working on. And there was, you know, four approaches to selling, and there's kind of been a fundamental shift in really what's working today. Can you just walk us through kind of what you found as to kind of the four approaches and maybe the implications on deal size and velocity of each of those approaches?
Yeah, for sure. So, we talked about this before. I'll talk about why we studied it. And then we'll dig into what we found, which is the four approaches. So, you know, as we discussed, Norman, SBI has been working with clients on go-to-market effectiveness for over two decades. And as you can imagine, during that time, talent activation has played a huge role in how we've diagnosed, advised, and partnered to drive growth and success with our clients. To study commercial productivity in today's environment, the first thing that we did was created a proprietary inventory of frontline seller competencies, skills, behaviors. And when I say seller, by the way, I'm referring to everybody, right? So account executive, customer success, frontline sales manager, you name it, everybody that's on the front line. And we augment those skills and behaviors and evolve them as the selling world evolves. With this particular study, we surveyed hundreds of frontline sellers on these skills and competencies. And we're continuing to do that right up to today with our active clients, by the way. And that allows SBI's research engine that I described before to then look for patterns in the data via factor analysis. And that's going to help all of us, right? Understand the skills and behaviors that sellers that are successful lean on in today's climate. And then most importantly, connect those back to actual commercial outcomes. So when I say successful, I means we're driving win rates, we're driving deal size up, and we're driving deal velocity as well. We then apply a proven methodology. I mentioned that word before, methodology. We feel it's a big differentiator for us in terms of understanding the drivers of commercial productivity. So in this case, factor analysis. And so when I say we identify patterns, factor analysis in its most basic form, Norman, allows us to see commonalities in the data. And in this case, it's commonalities in the approaches among sellers. So those are the approaches that you mentioned. And so, you know, you're right on it. In this work, we found four statistically significant approaches that emerged from the data. Now, you had asked, okay, so what are the four approaches? And can you describe them to us? So sure thing. The four approaches, and if anybody's listening along and can either type it out or has a pen and pencil handy, we're also happy to chat with you at any point about this work. There's four of them. So narrowing, mm-hmm. provoking, translating, and anticipating. And when it comes to driving up deal size and win rates and driving down sales cycle times, we found that two of these approaches win mm-hmm. and two don't. So let's describe them in more depth. So we'll start with narrowing. Sellers that have narrowing as their dominant approach, Norman, they ooze urgency. They work to set the pace of interactions with buyers. They dictate the evaluation process. They ruthlessly streamline the buying group and they nudge the customer on just what needs to get done. And this represents narrowing about a third of today's seller population.
So let me just paraphrase for our audience real quick. So narrowing are people who are really trying to accelerate velocity. The unintended consequences, they're actually slowing down velocity by pushing their customers to make a decision in an environment where they may not be really connecting with all the key stakeholders. So things are stalling on them. They're trying to push things along and they're ineffective in that approach.
Yeah, I was going to get to that, but you're spot on, Norman, which is the narrowing approach is not one of the winners as described as we're going through it. But that is spot on. And it represents about a third of our sellers that are currently out there today. So that's a huge number and a huge percentage. So that's the first one. Now, the second one is provoking. So when you think about sellers that lean on a provoking approach, they take the latest messaging, company insight, centralized marketing collateral from the organization. They tend to slap a veneer on it and just push it out into the market to provoke a response, to wake up the pipeline that they perceive to be latent. And there we have about just shy of 20% of sellers that have this as their dominant approach. And there's another important point here. With sellers that fall into the provoking bucket, there's a lot of self-proclaimed challengers that find themselves there. They attach themselves to the hip of the marketing team and almost act as an extension of those marketing efforts.
Why do you think that's become less effective? I know that it was, you know, really popular a number of years ago. And why do you think in this environment that's become less effective?
I mean, you know, maybe to oversimplify a little bit, Norman, you know, the days of free money is gone, right? And so, you know, where buyers, you know, used to have much healthier budgets and decision-making power, as we discussed before, a lot of that is gone. And so the transactional nature of just pushing your message out there to try to find a home, it just doesn't work and it isn't as effective anymore. And as a result of that, what we found is the folks that were successful in that environment have evolved. And it actually leads into the third approach that we're going to talk about, which is, I think, an evolution of that provoking approach. And it is what we call translating. Mm-hmm. And about a quarter of sellers, it's good news, skew here is their dominant posture. These are the folks, Norman, that are the slow down early to speed up late folks on the sales team, right? They prepare, they do their homework. They want to develop a deep and thorough understanding of their customers' problems to be solved, opportunities to be captured. And they work to take data beyond the context of their own product and solution all the way to the point of impact with their customers. These are the folks that live to show up for the big moments, right? They want to set the value hook deeply with the entire buying group. And as mentioned, compared to provoking, sellers that leverage translating aren't just pushing the latest centralized messaging or script. They take it that step further, right? Take the insights, the messaging, the success stories, and the data and work to apply them contextually and simply to the buyers that they're speaking to.
So they're actually creating more value by slowing it down a little bit and making the whatever insights they were sharing highly applicable, not just throwing it out there, but actually telling the customer what it means to them.
Exactly. And in a time where we see the buying groups growing, right, there's more diversity in terms of roles and titles that are involved in that conversation. This is absolutely critical in order to drive a successful purchase through. Now, the last one I'll mention, that was three of the four approaches. The fourth approach is one that we call anticipating. Folks that leverage this approach, they're all about customers' buying journey. Right here, these sellers are asking themselves, how can I make the entire buying decision team successful? How can I stay one step ahead to help the customer make this evaluation as effective as possible? Right? For these individuals, they're not asking the customers to coach them through their sales process. They're actually coaching the customers through their buying journey. They're putting themselves in the customer's shoes with a great deal of empathy.
Let me ask you, you used the term empathy, and why has selling with empathy become so important? You know, you mentioned the days of free money are not, you know, are not around anymore. Selling has become complex. The solutions are more complex. There's more people that have a seat at the table in terms of that decision process. Where does empathy fit in?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors to it. One, I will say, and we talked about this with narrowing, the individuals who are just really good at grabbing an individual customer stakeholder by the hand and dragging them through the sales process as quickly as possible just aren't finding success anymore for all the reasons that we just discussed. So empathy is critical. But I think also trying to land the plane in terms of making sure a successful buying group understands how they're going to be successful by partnering with us, by leveraging our solution. It's really hard work and it's a lot of work. And so individuals have to have an appreciation for the journey that those folks go on as individuals, but then also as they go on as a group, right? And so this is not about building a collection of yeses for a salesperson. This is about building a collective yes. And empathy is a critical, critical part of that.
Yeah, I love that. I think this idea of the collective yes versus collecting a, you know, a basket of individual yeses sounds like it's creating a lot more value that is going to land a lot better in today's economy. Final question for you, Rick, and thank you again very much for your time. As a sales leader today, what are the two or three key takeaways, things that my team in 2024 should be doing differently or better, or ways that I should be thinking differently as we move forward in 2024?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, at the highest level, we mentioned four approaches. And we also mentioned, right, that translating and anticipating are the ones that create commercial outcomes in a differentiated way. It drives deal size, right? It drives deal velocity, all the things that we want to drive as commercial leaders and enable our teams to do as well. Whereas narrowing and provoking are the ones that are associated with lower productivity outcomes. And so as a leadership team, the very highest level, we need to understand the critical few levers that we need to pull in order to drive those higher productivity approaches thematically from a mindset standpoint inside our organization. So how do we do that? Well, I'll highlight a few things. Number one, there's an education component to this, Norman, right? And this gets back to the differentiated research that we create as an organization here at SBI. It is very important to educate at all levels, starting with the senior commercial leadership team, about just what's going on outside of your own organization. What are the challenges to productivity? What did SBI's research find? And then how does that actually impact our organization? And are we feeling this? And we are driving compelling dialogues with our clients, leadership teams, every single day around this topic. So education is critical, both at the leadership level, as well as the frontline level as well. It's important for managers and for sellers to understand this story as well. So that's education. The next step for leaders that are dialed in and listening along today is you need to understand current state inside your organization. You need to map your sales team. You need to map your frontline sales management team. We have an assessment, diagnostic, or set of them as part of our digitally enabled technology applications here at SBI to study not only skills and behaviors, but also time spent. Again, both for frontline sellers, customer success individuals, account executives, but also for frontline sales managers. So that assessment or mapping is really critical. That also allows you to benchmark internally and benchmark against SBI's external benchmark, where we look at many different companies and different populations of commercial folks. And then the last piece, Norman, that I'll mention is you've got to scale it and you've got to embed it in the front line. So from a scale standpoint, we'll talk about revenue operations, revenue enablement. How do we equip those team members with not only the high level findings, but then, right, the frameworks, the playbooks that are going to allow them to scale, to teach the organization to fish when it comes to higher productivity approaches. And then really important to embed this within the front line. There's an education component there. But then there's also the training that we need to drive in terms of the right skills, the right behaviors to teach individuals how to drive this and how to see success as a result of leveraging the right sort of behaviors here.
Excellent. So I'm just going to paraphrase just sort of key takeaways if anyone wants to take some notes. And again, we'll make this podcast available to everyone. Number one, educate at all levels within the organization. Make sure everyone's keenly aware of what's going on in the market and the challenges associated with the market and what the research is showing. Yep. Assess internally related both to talent and to time, and benchmark that and really look for whatever those skill gaps are associated with that research. And maybe most importantly, once you've done that, scale and embed in the front line in terms of your enablement, the frameworks, the playbooks, training the front line, and of course, coaching them through the frontline sales managers. So a lot of really great takeaways. I know that SBI has a lot of the resources to help clients address those challenges. Rick, any final comments before we wrap up? And again, thank you so much for your time today.
No, appreciate it, Norman. Again, I would just offer up to, you know, all the listeners out there, if you want to get your leadership teams together and We've been driving productive dialogue for active clients, but you know, we've also been doing outside of our active client base as well. We love talking about this work and the research. We believe it's really powerful. And you know, our ability to then drive outcomes off of that is going to be the key to success for everyone out there. So just appreciate the time, Norman, and the opportunity.
Thank you.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.